Translation. Because of the Lord's pastimes and activities and because of his absence, it appeared that Arjuna forgot the instructions left by the personality of Godhead. But factually, this was not the case. And again, he became Lord of this of his senses. Okay, you read like a few lines or paragraph and then try to discuss. I'm kind of half prepared, so you're going to juggle around some points. Please listen carefully, you can write the notes. We try to summarize in the end together. This way there's some more benefit. You can remember and have some benefit from class, actually. I will read verse again, translation. Because of the Lord's pastimes and activities and because of his absence, it appeared that Arjuna forgot the instructions left by the personality of Godhead. But factually, this was not the case. And again, he became Lord of his senses. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktarina Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. See my palm leaves, Kali Yuga palm leaves, what is there? Okay. We go first for elaborate a little bit on verse itself, translation. Because of the Lord's pastimes and activities and because of his absence, these lines. So, first Arjuna was relishing Krishna's pastimes and presence. See? So, at that time, he didn't need to think of philosophy or Bhagavad Gita. Krishna was present personally with him, you know, so it was no need to think how to reach Krishna, or, you know, I'm not the body, I'm soul, and the goal is Krishna, because Krishna was present there, together with him, so, or his supreme object to achieve or something, so it appeared that Arjuna forgot the instructions left by the personality of Godhead, but actually this was not the case, and again, he became Lord of the senses, you see. So for this moment, due to this unusual situation, great shock, that Krishna actually left, see, Arjuna was bewildered. So in that sense, he's reflecting that he actually forgot. He was on a worldly platform or something, you know, due to sudden loss, kind of shock. So like Arjuna thought, oh, Krishna was with me in the past, and I thought, this is forever. He took for granted the same Yudhishthira thought. You know, Krishna is there forever, we will be with him there forever. So come on, go to Dwaraka and ask him, what is his plan? Want to be his plan again? On and on and on, continuously. So this idea that he's personally always there, see. So he's forever there for us, with us. But now when he's disappeared, then again, whoa, he's gone. And he's gone forever. It's a sudden loss, you know, like a dear friend, a relative, spouse. When he goes, it's a big, big, big loss. Even for devotees, he's just totally shocked. He's like, you know, your heart is pulled. It's just whole there. If you can recall, if you lost anyone. So this is kind of temporary shock for Arjuna. It was unbearable loss. So now we go to purport, a few paragraphs, and try to juggle a little bit. Conditioned soul is enwrapped in his fruitive activities by the force of eternal time. But the Supreme Lord, when he incarnates on the earth, is not influenced by kala or the material conception of past, present, and future. The activities of the Lord are eternal, and they are manifestations of his Atma Maya, or internal potency. All pastimes or activities of the Lord are spiritual in nature. But for the layman, they appear to be on the same level with material activities. So I was kind of struggling with this part of the verse when I was preparing, kind of falling asleep every few moments. I guess I was tired, just staring it blank for a few hours. But I mean, this eternal time, Kali, how it refers to this verse, that, Arjuna was under time and Krishna was not under time, and he appears, disappears. But Mercy of Vaishnavas, they throw the hint, they're probably more rested than me. Antaranda just gave me just small hint. Because it's absolute, you know, Krishna is there, but now he's in his instructions there. So that's a kind of bush where you have to beat. That's as simple as that. So he's not under Kala, where it says there, time factor. He was present there, you know. So, and then also these instructions which Arjuna got in the past, it was not something in history which was kind of relative to that time, important at that time. Now it's new time. We need new instructions. Very often we come into that. So verse says there that is absolute for all time, all places, circumstances. They are applicable always. So, but it needs great fortune to understand that. Great fortune to understand that this instruction actually can pull us out, see. And Arjuna, it's not that he was in illusion, as many times you hear, but he was playing perfectly part of Krishna's drama. He told us how to be overcome by Maya and how to come out of it. That's his role for all of us, see. And especially when we are in stress, like he was so many times. That's a thing. And then when you remember instructions of Bhagavad Gita, then very quickly he regained his composure. So that's a way to hear Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. As Arjuna heard. So if we take it any other way, we're going to ruin the process, more or less. So how to apply Bhagavad Gita in our present situation, see, like Arjuna did? All of this will actually save us eventually. Sometimes we are so stressed that no way, you cannot hear. It's just not proper time to hear. But this eventually, this is something which will save us, so. So, how to apply Bhagavad Gita in our present situation? Every day there is something, stress. Now situation is very terrible. So how to really, very often we speak about Bhagavad Gita, discuss, and then we instruct others. But how really to apply Bhagavad Gita in this present situation? Let's say this COVID thing, and also, they said that, Krishna is not different from his words, He is all potent. He can appear in his words. So did ever happen to you that somebody appeared to you within his words, which kind of helped you suit your mind? Anyone had experience? So we have to kind of just enter the mind of the Arjuna. That's my always think. When you read the verse, enter the mind of the main actors and see what they feel and how we can apply the same. Just try to envision that. How that person is present in his words. So we always have this idea, person, or if he's not personally present, there's some sentiment, some emotions, but it's just not the same. So when Krishna left Bhagavad Gita, so now Arjuna can remember that, remember Bhagavad Gita, remember instructions, and then regain his composure. So do you have any experience in your life that that actually somebody's words or something, relative, friend, or something, you remember that and it helped you. So how, what's that feeling? Was that anyone else? Any? Or you never had a problem? Or you never listened to anyone? Or everyone's just socializing without, like Arjuna and Krishna before, socializing. And now it's time, boop, shishyate aham. Now I'm disciple. Did it ever happen to you? Must be something. We've never been distressed. So if there is nothing already happened, so you don't have experience how to draw these important points from somebody, how you expect that when you're distressed, you draw something from Bhagavad Gita? You don't know what it is. So how a person can be present before you in his words? Srinivas, please, you are a savior.
She was going on a wood green, door to door.
Yeah.
And she proposes a big house. It's a rich person's house. And she knocked on the door 3 times. The person opened, but and he asked her, "What are you doing here? Where you're from?" And she says, "I'm from the Hare Krishna temple." So he said, "I was going to commit suicide because all my family, they've disappeared. I'm alone now. I have nothing to live for." So then she gave a Bhagavad Gita to him. And because in that condition, you can't really say much to that person. And he said, "Can I drop you back?" He said, no, "I'll make my own way back. You keep read this Bhagavad Gita, this will help you."
Yeah.
So this is in a time of crisis for that person. He was going to go heavy time. But somehow he met a devotee and maybe his life changed.
A big, big benefit, of course. But we don't know what he did with Bhagavad Gita, what he did with his life. So my question was, did you have experience that somebody's instructions you remembered in time of crisis? Not Krishna, not Gita, anything which kind of really pull you out. That my kind of, so that we know what we're talking about, can really somebody's instructions help you? If you don't have the experience, or you don't even expect, then don't expect that Bhagavad Gita will pull you out. You get benefit, Krishna will kind of, make his way through your consciousness in time, let's say even in time of death. But can this help you to skip all this, to suit your mind? That's my kind of thing. Anyone? Well, somebody's hands was there, but I think he changed his mind.
Hare Krishna, thank you. We were having a Sangha in London, and His Grace Mother Nandan Prabhu, he said that whenever you have a distress, or you have a distressful situation, open one page of the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
And
I heard this from Gandhi.
Yeah, that's probably where he got it from. So one time I was taking a flight to America, oh no, back to London from America, and I missed that flight because actually they changed gates last 15 minutes.
Oh.
I was staying put, but they changed gates last 15 minutes. And I was thinking I was happy, dandy, you know. And when I went up to line up for the queue, they were like, this is not your gate. And I'm like, what is this nonsense? So at that point, I was completely humiliated. I was like, I've just been reading.
I missed the flight, I know what it means. Oh.
But I was thinking I was so happy just reading my books and I can just go to my flight nice and easy. And the flight costed a lot of money, so I was thinking what to do, you know. And then...
Rascals, that's their fault.
Exactly. But I, you know, what can you do? So I started making my way out, but I was like, it's just very humiliating. And then I remembered Mother Nandan Prabhu saying that, you know, just open one page of Bhagavad Gita. So I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. And I opened the page of Bhagavad Gita and I saw Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto. Obviously, the Paribhasa Sutra, as we know it from. And then later on, what happened is I went to the desk where the flight attendant, not flight attendants, where the receptionists are, where you book your flight.
Yeah.
And I told them I just missed my flight. And I was going to ask them, you know, about some kind of new ticket for another person. I was going to book my flight by myself.
Yeah.
But the person said, okay. And then he just looked on his laptop and immediately he booked another flight for me.
Yeah.
In a second. And I didn't say anything else to him. And then he said, are you ready? And I said, yes.
Yeah. That's good example. I mean, I'm asking you, but I myself, you know, cannot say, you know, maybe I was not in such a horrible calamity to remember instructions. Anyway, mind speculates a lot, fuzzy. So, more or less, this is what you save us, Krishna's instructions, on the end of the day, or on the end of the night, or any time. So, this is a part of verse, Prabhupada speaking about spirituality, and what means spiritual? It's a kind of great puzzle for the man, spiritual activity, see. You're expecting some extraordinary activity, some, you know, like spiritual means you see something spiritual, like something, whoa, far out, like, I don't know, special effects movie or something from fairy stories, or it may happen, like, but probably will not, so. But what means actually spiritual activity? Without this philosophy, you'll never know what spiritual activity means. I was struggling to understand that simple point and also to explain to others what is spiritual activity. It's more or less same activity you do here, but you do it for Krishna. It's so simple that we're expecting something extraordinary. What means that, you know? That's all. So in this way, you skip this mundane conception of what means spiritual. So in this way, when Prabhupada said Arjuna was, you know, apparently doing mundane things, mundane activity, fighting, but this was spiritual. So only few people would understand what means that, you know. What is a goal you offer to the Krishna? To Krishna, that's a goal. That's a spiritual, simply. Just adjustment of the mind. It's not for me, for my own speculation, my own sense gratification. That's a spiritual, whatever you can feel about. See? Read a little more purportive. It so appears that Arjuna and the Lord were engaged in the battle of Kurukshetra, as the other party was also engaged. But factually, the Lord was executing his mission of incarnation and association with his eternal friend Arjuna. Therefore, such apparently material activities of Arjuna did not drive him away from his transcendental position, but on the contrary, revived his consciousness of the songs of the Lord, which is Bhagavad Gita, as he sang them personally. This revival of consciousness is assured by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita, 1865, as follows. Man mana bhava ma bhaktam adhyajima namaskuru. Mame vaishyasi satyam teya pratijano priyosime. One should think of the Lord always. The mind should not forget him. One should become devotee of the Lord and offer obeisances unto him. One who lives in that fashion becomes undoubtedly endowed with blessings of the Lord by achieving the shelter of his lotus feet. So this thinking of the Lord, aiming his result of his activities to him. That's the spiritual, our activities. So, why we cannot be absorbed in the Lord? This kind of my main topic. Even Maharaj, I think he mentioned on his Radhashtami class, why we cannot, you know, think of the Lord. Remember, we said, I'm reading Bhagavad Gita for the last 45 years. You know, but then, you know, I remember this something stupid thing like advert from TV, which I watched like 50 years ago, and Krishna doesn't come to my... I was meditating on that. It's so true, see? So because we are mostly absorbed in our own pastimes, that's the thing. Always me, 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 me. What I did in past, this was good, this was stupid, this was foolish, this was always us. We are so absorbed because Krishna, unfortunately, is not part of our life. Maybe we have been some point there or something, in some connection with him on spiritual world, but it was so long ago that it's like never happened. Therefore, we more or less have nothing to do with that, see. So you cannot be attracted to something or somebody if you just, you know, don't feel anything about. There's no this attraction. That's the reason why in our mind constantly our memories, our samskaras popping up. Constantly. I don't know, is it only me? But something is happening. God knows, like 40 years ago, 50 years ago, you know. It's just constantly rolling through my mind, like, you know, this was good, this was stupid. And a very interesting thing, that our good experience, that we just can recall, oh, this was good, yeah, it was good time. But doesn't have this deep impression emotional in us. But anything bad happen, it leaves trauma, scar, in our consciousness forever. Even now, we can remember and recall this feeling of pain, of frustration, whatever, which happened, God knows when, because it goes so deeper in us, these frustrations. This is what we are absorbing constantly. So you cannot think artificially of somebody and then think, you know, it will happen, but not so easy. Same like I mentioned some months ago, to learn to go to hell, you have to be there for long, long, long time to learn what you're going to be next life by force. The same is a bit good. It doesn't happen overnight. To develop attraction to somebody, there's a process. Therefore, our sadhana is sometimes very painful. If you try to kind of make a walls and not allow mind to wander all the place, that's a sadhana, which is in the beginning definitely painful until it becomes spontaneous. Same as when you go to hell, when your nasty life becomes spontaneous, you want to do it like a pig, then you are ready to get a body. Same way, good things also. They become spontaneous at some point. And also we are absorbed in thinking of our present activities, what we do or what he did. Oh, this was good, this was bad, you know, whatever. Like, I burned the sabji, or, you know, or the cake was not undone, not done properly, or just like, you know. I was singing out of key on the kirtan. It was so stupid, you feel pain. That's what we absorb in past, near past, far past, present. There's no future much, you just speculate. But that's our obsession. Therefore, we cannot think of the Lord's pastimes. See? Always me, 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 me. That's the thing. So first attraction must be there before you can really absorb in somebody, like celebrities, whatever, you know. It's very easy. You like to read about your rock stars of, very easy. There's no problem with that. You want to know every aspect of their life and you converse. And stay is new. Once you read, you remember everything. It's not like Bhagavatam. Reading for years, you cannot remember. You know, I remember now, my favorites, rock stars, heavy metal stars. I know everything about them even now in my head. I didn't forget. Because once you read, you remember everything, absolutely every aspect. There's the attraction there. It's incredible what mind does here. Therefore, it's so, so vital and important is to stop those activities of putting material samskaras in our heads constantly. You know, even now, these are devotees. I mean, I remember so many times Ihrasa said, oh, I'm allowed. I can watch the movies. I can still hear mundane music. You know, you should not. You are brahmachari. It's sort of a stupid idea. Like, you are sort of immune. You have some special organ in you part of the brain. You are immune to that. It will not affect you. And it will affect me. I should not. You know. It's such an idiotic idea. You just keep nourishing your samskaras, nourishing your anarthas. The result is simply misery. That's all it is. So unless you don't come to the point to stop that completely and force mind not to go there, to resist, it's not going to happen. You know, our mind is full of samskaras from past, and it's full of it. How is it going to go away if you just continue feeding our brain with that? That's a sad thing. So, therefore, to hear constantly, force the mind. Like now is COVID, and I'm sure there are many devotees, or a number of them, who just don't know what to do with themselves, what to speak about people. You have to find some entertainment. You know, you did your rounds, you read 1 hour, you're getting restless. You know, you have to spend your time. What are you going to do? Browse internet for nothing. Waste time. Fill mind with samskaras. But you're going to watch sports, music, just to kind of find some satisfaction in that. You know, it very easily happens, you know, wasting time. So that's what is lamentable. See? I just read the other day Ananta Gopal's new post. And in the end he said, am I serving Krishna to be myself happy, or I'm serving Krishna because to make him happy? Nice statement. But of course, I want to be happy. You know, why we joined the spiritual life anyway? Why we started spiritual life? We wanted happiness. You know, it's not like I want to make Krishna happy. This is something way on the long stick. When you develop attraction towards Krishna, then may happen. In this present situation, I cannot be naive. You know, if you are not happy, oh yeah, man. So you have to be satisfied at least. So that's the thing. You have to have this significant, not just attraction, but significant attraction to Krishna. And then things start to happen. I'm sure we all experience this stream of something which hits your heart, shakes you to the core, and is not negative. It melts you down. So, this is what we want. The Sutapa said on last time, Chaitanya Charitamrita, because you have to find this, happiness, this deep, deep bliss. It's not just knowledge, it's not just this, you know. Practicing Krishna consciousness. So, because we all know what is that. We had the idea. We got these small sparks of it. We want that. So now you can say, oh, you want to make yourself happy or Krishna's happy. It's all combined together. You know, that this attraction produces appreciation. This feeling of happiness produces attraction for Krishna, produces this amazement, how amazing personality is he. And then, of course, service is just a byproduct of that. Nobody needs to force you, like Brijavasis. You know, they're paramahamsas, but their activities is a product of their love. It's not vice versa. Because they love Krishna, they want to do things. That's where it comes. And how attraction for anything takes place, anyway. You remember your first encounter with, I don't know, anything which you attracted. Intoxication, sex. You know, maybe sex life is different because that's the reason why we are in material world anyway. You know, we are bombarded by it from very early age, and we talk about it with friends. And then, you know, once you get into that, somebody said, when lion tries human flesh, he cannot eat any other flesh anymore. When man tries sex life, he cannot live without it. This is the strongest attraction. But let's say other attachment, intoxication. Most of us, sorry, never date. Most of everybody. In the beginning, it's not great. unless it's there's some special, I don't want to advertise any intoxication. But it's awful, like drinking, horrible, smoking, terrible. But then you get into it, you love attraction. Even celebrities, at the beginning, you don't care, but then somehow something hits you. Oh, this is a good band, you know. I remember, you know, my first heavy metal bands. Yeah, it's fine, it's good. This song is good. And then you start to like, and then it's in your head. And you're obsessed. These are gods, you know. This attraction, this is how you develop the attraction. You hear about him, you hear them, and then attraction develops. So to develop attraction for Krishna, what we have to do? We have to hear about Krishna. That means have knowledge. To hear about Krishna, you have to have a knowledge. There's no way it cannot happen just like that. Okay, Krishna is beautiful. It's, you know, I mean, as a deity, first time you don't see him as a Krishna, you see him as a beautiful statue or something. But you have to hear through the ears, know the Krishna. To the related name, you chant to Krishna, to the person. That's the key. To always try to remember, find a method to remember to chant. This is our first thing. Chanting is beginning, chanting is the end. And this is my kind of main activity, is to relate chanting to the person Krishna, to feel the space where we chant his presence, like very conscious of his presence in your aura, in your and name you chant offer to Krishna. I don't know, is it anything else would help us? At least initially. Chanting, that's my main thing, therefore I kind of stress in that. That means inattentive chanting then. It's just lifeless chanting, which, you know, the lifeless chanting, absent-minded chanting, distracted chanting. Would you take this name in your grave, this kind of inattention? It's like, I don't know, it's like a building the house, laid in bricks very carefully, but then totally forget to build the doors and windows. And you, on the end, end up with a tomb. Lifeless inside, lifeless outside. So that's inattention. There's no life in it. I purport just to finish. There is nothing to doubt about this eternal truth, because Arjuna was his confidential friend. The secret was disclosed to him. Arjuna had no desire to fight with his relatives, but he fought for the mission of the Lord. He was always engaged in the execution of his missions only, and therefore, after the Lord's departure, he remained in the same transcendental position, even though it appeared that he forgot all instructions of Bhagavad Gita. If there is an agreement for the constant chanting of the holy name, qualities, etc., of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no chance at all for the personality of Kali to enter. This is from first canto. So because mind is like a sponge, it sucks everything it's exposed to. Therefore, I was talking about samskaras earlier. If you don't stop at some point, mind will just suck in. It's incredible. You cannot break this cycle. Anyone has any idea how to break this cycle of samskaras? We hear all the time this example when devotees was dying, practicing for 30 years. Remember this stupid washing up liquid advert instead of Krishna. You know, of course, maybe in the time, the last point, maybe when he would about to leave the body, then Lord Chaitanya or whatever, Krishna would maybe break through, enter in. But it's dangerous, he may not. You know, it's very hard to, you know, especially things which we've been attracted to, how to break this down. I don't see anything but chanting. You have to just drown your mind in the holy name totally to saturate you like gulab jamun. You know, it's totally, because I know, I don't know, it's something special in the holy name. Although when I'm stopped, I'm making all kinds of trouble to everybody. But in that moment, you know, you just, like a train, start to, you know, move, and it moves first, and second, and then big train just moves. It takes you somewhere. And I don't see anything else which really can purify us, can make us into proper beings, into melting away the samskaras. And scripture mentioned also that at some point all the samskaras will disappear. The main thing is chanting of the holy name. So, 1 minute. What we've been talking about. Sorry, my kind of, maybe I bored you to death and you cannot remember. I have a note, I can remember, but I wouldn't know so. Go quickly through this. How we can remember Krishna. How Arjuna did, what happened. And one more thing. Which verses you think Arjuna remember, which kind of pacified his mind and then decided, yeah, Krishna is here with me. Throw some verses, some shlokas. Doesn't need to be Sanskrit. From verses in regarding to this, that Arjuna was with them with such a amazing pastimes. Now he's gone. But actually he's not gone. He's with us. He said he remembered his instructions from Bhagavad Gita. So throw some verses, which, yeah. 2:12. Just tell us. I don't know numbers. Oh, yeah, Vyatitani something. What was that? There was never time when I, yeah, nor you, nor all these kings. That's good. I was thinking first verse this one. Yeah. See, they don't know. All these, apparently, person you died, all these yadus apparently died. Oh, Krishna disappeared. There's never time that they not exist. They always exist. More. Come on, suit our heart. We're suffering here. Fight. Yeah, yeah, if you absorb your mind in this. But I'm just wondering, is that just you remember that how Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita and yeah, great, or particular instructions was like for him, you know, this is something which I, you know, what sort of instruction you could take it and then, well, and then be happy, realize that Krishna is not gone. I cannot enter into that. Any particular words or something which make him kind of shake him. Oh yeah, this instruction, that words. I didn't forget, yeah. Yeah. Yes?
Throughout the whole chapter, Krishna is Arjuna
speaking. Yeah, speak on it, because they're online people. They're kind of bored to that, probably.
For the whole chapter, Krishna is just listening to Arjuna. He doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
My dear friend, he makes it
personal. I mean, like in the introduction, not in the first few verses of Bhagavad Gita, I mean that. Arjuna was just lamenting, Krishna just let him speak, and then he instructed him. Yeah. Come on, throw something which pacifies our mind.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your nice class. Just on the purport towards the end, it talks about one should therefore adjust the activities of life in pace with the mission of the Lord. And I was just reflecting on that part of the purport and thinking in this Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya came for a specific mission obviously not to fight with weapons, but to fight with the transcendental words. So, and you were also reflecting upon how this situation of coronavirus has led people to be entrapped in their environments, which meant obviously they are doing other things, other activities after chanting and reading, maybe they're doing something else. But I think in Krishna consciousness, we've been given, with Prabhupada's mercy, the ability to adjust our transmission process. And so we've sort of tried to adjust that in terms of preaching activities, and therefore devotees, we've heard, know that they've taken up many other activities like learning instruments or singing or cooking or even growing tulsi plants.
Yeah, it's all related to Krishna.
So all of these things are related to Krishna. So then it's quite endearing to see how so many devotees are doing different activities across the congregation, across the world. We've just had the Bhadra campaign, and you know that has been such an amazing success. And so, yes, we can sit here and maybe say, yes, some people are perhaps watching TV or digressing their mind on other activities, but we know that the reality is somewhat different, at least within the congregation devotees. And we are growing. We're growing our congregation by, you know, attracting more people to come online, to our courses, to our different activities that we're doing. Yeah. And so I'm quite sort of, you know, pleased that we have that process available to us. Just I'll mention that a few bits.
Because in this time, there's nothing else you can do. You know, like, fortunately, all this technology is there. There's no way to reach them. Those who want, they can take a full advantage. So,
I mean, technology aside, we are, like, even in here at the manor, we've got the farming project going along. People actually are growing things at home. I know people are doing that. So then there is lots of activity going on. People are thinking about, okay, this coronavirus is because of the environmental issues that have been happening. So let me just try and be a bit more conscious about my environment. And so they are growing their own things.
Yeah.
People are making a difference.
Okay. Okay. I think I finish anyway. You should finish. Jai Shri Prabhupada, Padita Pavanam.